Hello, I'm Dr. Jonathan Barker, pastor here at Amazing Grace Baptist Church in Mount Airy, North Carolina. I would like to personally thank you for taking out time today to tune in to our preaching podcast. We hope that this message will be a great encouragement to your heart today.
Philippians chapter number 4, as we've been looking at the book of Philippians, of course, we are reminded that Paul is the writer to us, and that it is one of the church epistles, but also it is considered a prison epistle. Paul is in prison whenever he writes the book of Philippians to us. We've been looking at this. In chapter number 1, we saw the secret of Christian contentment, or the single mind producing a happy personality. In chapter number 2, there was the secret of Christian success and the submissive mind producing a humble personality. In chapter number 3, we looked at the secret of Christian victory and the spiritual mind producing a heavenly personality. Tonight we come to chapter number 4, and I want to look at this, the secret of Christian joy. And here we see the secure mind producing a holy personality. And really, all throughout the book of Philippians, we have looked at the mind. I'm glad that through the Bible, we can have a secure mind tonight. And our mind doesn't have to wander here and there, and our mind does not have to get the best of us. If we'll stay in God's Word, we can have the right kind of mind. And I want to say this to you tonight, and then we'll jump into this. I promise you, one of the secrets to your mind being stable is the Word of God. I was talking to a gentleman the other day, and I told him, I said, man, if I do not daily read my Bible and daily pray and ask God to help me, my mind would be all over the place. But we can have a secure mind, and we can find that in the Word of God. Yesterday, Brother John had surgery, and I left home at 4:30 yesterday morning and got back at 6 o'clock last night. But I was headed down the road yesterday morning, and I turned on Brother Bobby Robertson preaching. What a prince of preachers, amen. He was talking about reading his Bible, and he said, I don't read it like I should. He said, I'm ashamed to say this. He said, I at least read 10 chapters a day, every day at least 10 chapters a day. And he said, I need to do more than that. And I thought, my soul, man, you want to talk about putting you under conviction, amen? But here's what he said. He said, it's what keeps my mind where it needs to be. And boy, how true that is getting in the Word of God and allowing the Word of God to renew our mind on a daily basis. But here in chapter number 4, we find that a secure mind produces a holy personality, or we could say it this way. Chapter number 4 deals with the secret of Christian joy. I want to say this to you tonight. If your mind is not right, you'll not have joy. You'll not have joy if your mind's not right. So he talks about the secret to Christian joy here in chapter number 4. Now, before we get in Philippians, I want you to turn back to the book of John with me. And I want to show you something. John chapter number 15. John chapter number 15. I want you to look at one verse right here. The Bible says this in John 15:11. These things have I spoken unto you, that my joy might remain in you, and that your joy might be full. Now, I want you to note something that he says, that my joy might remain in you. It's not my joy that keeps me happy tonight, and it's not my joy that keeps my mind secure tonight. It's His joy tonight. He said that my joy might remain in you. You want me to tell you the only way His joy is going to remain in you is if you remain in Him. And I'm not talking about losing our salvation, but I'm talking about you having a relationship with God on a daily basis. Go to chapter number 16. John chapter 16, look in verse number 24. He says this. Hitherto have you asked nothing in my name. Ask and ye shall receive, that your joy might be full. That your joy might be full. Again, he says in verse 11 of chapter 15, and that your joy might be full. Listen to me tonight. Christ don't want you just to have joy. He wants your joy to be full. He wants you to be full. I began studying that word full, and here's what it means. It means to make full, to fill up, to feel, and to be full, to cause to abound, to furnish or supply liberally, to complete, to fill to the top, so that nothing shall be wanting. And what's he saying? He's saying this: I want your joy to be complete. I want it to be filled to the top. I don't want you to be wanting in joy. And the only way that we have that is in the Lord tonight. Listen to what the Bible said. You don't have to turn, but listen to what the Bible said in Nehemiah chapter number 8. Then he said unto them, go your way, eat the fat and drink the sweet, and send portions unto them for whom knoweth is prepared, for whom nothing is prepared. For this day is holy unto our Lord. Neither be ye sorry. Now watch this. For the joy of the Lord is my strength. My strength is not in me, but it's in the Lord. My joy is not in me, but it's in the Lord. Listen to what the Bible said in Psalms 28. He said, the Lord is my strength and my shield. My heart trusteth in him, and I am helped. Therefore, my heart greatly rejoiceth, and with my song I will praise him. Why was his heart greatly rejoicing? Here's the reason why. The Lord is my strength and shield. It goes, all of it goes back to the Lord tonight. The secret to my joy, the secret to my happiness is not in men. It's not in the circumstances that is around me. I'll say more about that in just a minute. My strength and my joy is in the Lord tonight. It's not in you. It's not in myself, but it's in the Lord tonight. So let's look at the secret of Christian joy, and that being a secure mind tonight. Number one, I want you to see this. Our position must be realized. Our position must be realized. Are you in Philippians 4 with me? Know what the Bible says in verse number 4. Rejoice in the Lord always, and again I say rejoice. Our position must be realized. Here it is essential to recognize what we are to rejoice in. What do we rejoice in? Our position must be realized. He didn't say rejoice in the circumstances that you're at. He didn't say rejoice in the valley that you're facing. He didn't say rejoice in your spouse. No, what did he say? He said rejoice in the Lord. The reason we can rejoice in the Lord tonight is because that is where our joy comes from. He never changes. He's not up. He's not down. He's not in. He's not out. He's always the same. Watch this. We rejoice in him. In him when he died. In him when he was buried. In him when he arose. In him when he ascended. In him forever, whenever, whatever, to whomever. Our joy's not in us. It's in him tonight. It's in him. When we allow our joy to be sucked away from us, it is because we are not looking to him. We are looking to others. Our position must be realized. Joy doesn't flow from life's conditions, but from our position in Christ. Our joy isn't tied to what changes around us, but to who never changes within us. Can I say that again? Our joy isn't tied to what changes around us, but the who never changes within us. Circumstances will change, but he never does. Life will be up. Life will be down. Life will be happy. Life will be sad. But our joy can remain because our position is in Christ and him in us. So number one, our position must be realized. Number two, our praying must be right. Talking about joy tonight. Our praying must be right. Go to verse 5. Let your moderation be known unto all men. The Lord is at hand. Be careful for nothing, but in everything, by prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known unto God. Our praying must be right. The scope of our praying is this: in everything. You know what the Bible said? We have not because we ask not. We have not. You say, preacher, my mind is a basket case. Well, can I ask you a question? Have you sincerely took time to fast and pray and ask God to help you with that? If the answer is no, then that's partially the problem with your mind. Because he said if we ask anything according to his will, he heareth us. And do you think that it's the will of God for us to live in confusion? Well, no, because the Bible said this: he's not the author of confusion. Satan's the author of confusion. So our scope of praying is in everything. But look at the spirit of our praying. With thanksgiving. With thanksgiving. How many times do we go to God in prayer and we forget about thanksgiving? It's just always, Lord, I need you to do this, and Lord, I need you to do that, and Lord, I need you to do this. Well, I understand the days do get dark sometimes, but how about even in those times that we take a minute and say, God, I don't understand all the circumstances. I don't understand why it is the way that it is, but I want to thank you for being you and for being here. That is what is. It's thanksgiving. It's thanksgiving. Our praying must be right. The scope of our praying, the spirit of our praying. But watch this, the simplicity of our praying. The simplicity, what did he say? He said, let your request be made known unto God. Praying's not a hard thing. Praying is not a hard thing. It's simply, as the illustration I give the other day about the old man that had slipped over on the chair. He had pulled it up beside of him. Why? Because he was talking to Jesus just as he was sitting in the chair. In the simplicity of our praying, church, it's simply talking to him. Brother Milton Taylor is one of the greatest prayer warriors I've ever met. And Brother Taylor always said that some of his best praying was done riding down the road looking out the windshield. And I'm going to tell you, man, what a great time to talk to the Lord. Turn your radio off. Amen. Put your phone on do not disturb and take some time and talk to the Lord. Amen. So we see this. Our position must be realized, but our praying must be right. Joy settles in when prayer moves from panic to praise. Joy settles in when prayer moves from panic to praise. Number three, our peace must be real. Not only must our position be recognized and our prayer must be right, but our peace must be real. Look in verse number 7. The Bible said this, and the peace of God, which passeth all understandings, shall keep your hearts and minds, watch this, through Christ Jesus. Through, how is our mind stabilized? Through the Lord. How do I communicate with the Lord? Through prayer. How does the Lord communicate with me? Through his word. Oh yes, our peace must be real. There's the peace of salvation in Romans 5:1. Therefore, being justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. There's the peace of security in Isaiah 26:3. Thou wilt keep him in perfect peace, whose mind is stayed on thee, because he trusteth in thee. There is peace of surrender in Philippians 4:7, because he says this, and the peace of God, which passeth all understanding, shall keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. I want to ask you this question tonight. Have you ever surrendered your mind to Christ? I didn't say your heart, I said your mind. Say, God, help my mind. God, help my mind. I'm telling you, man, the joy of the Lord is what does that. Real joy flows from peace the world cannot give, and circumstances cannot steal. Listen to that again. Real joy flows from peace the world cannot give. The world will never give you the peace that God will give you. It's a peace that passeth all understanding. Real joy flows from a peace the world cannot give, and circumstances cannot steal. Number four, watch this. Our perception must be restricted. Our perception must be restricted. Look at verse number 8. Finally, brethren, whatsoever things are true, whatsoever things are honest, whatsoever things are just, whatsoever things are pure, whatsoever things are lovely, whatsoever things are of good report, if there be any virtue, and if there be any praise, look at this, think on these things. Our perception must be restricted. What we think, what are we to think on tonight? We're not to think on all the garbage of this world. That's not, I'm telling you, listen to what I'm fixing to say to you tonight. I know what I'm talking about. I'm not just babbling words. If you'll cut the stinking news off and take that time and put in the Word of God, reading your Bible and praying and ask God to help you, I promise you, you'll see a difference in your life. What did they do? All they do is throw the negative of the world out there. 99% of it is not even honest. He's not telling us to think on those things. Before we left, me and Brother David was watching some of the news and was following some of the things. And boy, if you looked at the news and you looked at the scare tactics of society, you would have thought the airports was a madhouse and you could not get anywhere. I got through customs and I got through TSA quicker this time than I ever have whenever I flew. Let me tell you what it is. It's the world. It's the scare tactics of Satan that gets in your mind. And here's what he says to us tonight. I'm telling you, our perception must be restricted. We've got to restrict what goes into this. We have to. So, preach, how do I restrict what goes into my mind? What you're looking at and what you're hearing. What enters your mind goes through the eye gate or the ear gate. That's the way it gets into your mind. And you must come to a place, if you're going to have the joy of the Lord, you must come to a place where you restrict what's going in. Note again what he says. He says, whatsoever things are true, whatsoever things are honest, whatsoever things, watch this, are pure, whatsoever things are just, whatsoever things are lovely, whatsoever things are of a good report. A good report. If all you've got is negative to say, don't even come talk to me. I'm preaching good, of a good report. If there be any virtue, if there be any praise, what did he say? Think on these things. What do we think of? We think on praising God. We think on purity. We restrict our mind for allowing anything that is not that to come into it. So what we think, but look at verse number 9. Those things which you have both learned and received and heard and seen in me do, and the God of peace shall be with you. What we learn, our perception must be restricted. What we think, what we learn, what we receive, what we hear, what we see. If you'll learn to restrict those things, you'll be a whole lot further down the road in having the joy of the Lord in your mind. I'm going to say this to you tonight. There's some people I'm just not going to listen to. There's some people I'm just not going to talk to. I told an individual today, I'm not going to tell you everything I told them, but here was the conclusion of it. I'd say goodbye and never look back. Let me tell you the reason why. They do nothing but pull you down. They're not of God. If all they are ever do is stirring drama, is stirring contention, is stirring strife, I'm telling you what you need to do. Mark them which cause divisions among you and to have nothing to do with them. That's what the Bible said. You can holler amen or oh me, I can holler amen to it. That's what the Bible said do. And you have to learn if your mind's going to be right and you're going to have the joy of the Lord in your mind, there has to be a perception that is restricted. What fills your mind will shape your joy. Guard the gate and fix your focus. Guard the gate and fix your focus. Number 5, our priorities must be right. Look at verse number 10 and 11 and 12. He said, but I rejoice in the Lord greatly. Again, let me just say this in passing. Who's he rejoicing in? Not his circumstances. Paul's in prison. I rejoice in the Lord greatly. Look what he says. That now at the last your care of me hath flourished again, wherein you were also careful, but you lacked opportunity. Not that I speak in respect of want, for I have learned in whatever state I am therewith to be content. I know both how to be abased and I know how to abound. Everywhere and in all things I am instructed both to be full and to be hungry, both to abound and to suffer need. Our priorities must be right. Watch this. The giver, not the gift. The blesser, not the blessing. Christ, not the circumstances. Here's what it is. He's rejoicing in the giver and not the gift. He's joying in the blesser and not the blessing. He's deciding that Christ is the center and not his circumstances. Look what he says in verse number 11. Not that I speak in respect of want, for I have learned. He said, I've learned. In other words, can I say it this way? Evidently, he's been to school on contentment. It's not something that he just ran across. He said, I've learned this. In whatsoever state I am, therewith to be content. In verse 11, Paul is saying, I'm grateful for the gift, but my joy doesn't depend on my circumstances. What did he say in verse number 10? For I rejoice in the Lord greatly that now at last your care of me hath flourished again, wherein you were also careful, but you lacked opportunity. What did he said, hey, I appreciate what you've done for me. And without taking a great deal of time to go into all the context in this church at Philippi helping him, he's saying this, I'm grateful for what you've done, but my joy is not in you, it's in him. Then he goes on to say, not that I speak in respect of want, For I've learned in whatsoever state I'm in, therewith to be content. Paul is saying, I'm grateful for the gift, but my joy doesn't depend on the gift that you may give me. My joy doesn't depend on my circumstances. My joy is anchored in Christ. Verse 12 and 13 explains how he learned contentment. Verse 10, he experienced poverty and abundance. Verse 13, he can endure all things because Christ strengthened him. That's where I'm headed to next. Paul is saying this, my contentment came from when in times of poverty or in times of abundance. Paul had it both whenever you study his life. And he said whether there was abundance or whether there was poverty, my contentment is not in my circumstances. My joy is in Christ. Watch this, verse 13. Our priorities must be right in verse 10 through 12, but our power must be remembered in verse 13. He takes us to verse 13, and he says, the reason that I can be content, the reason that I can have joy, is because this, I can do all things. I love that word all right there. I can do all things through Christ, which strengtheneth me. I want to say this to you. Joy grows when Christ becomes greater than everything we face and everything we have. And in verse 13, our power must be remembered. There's the scope of our power. All things, there's nothing that we cannot do as long as Christ is on our side. If God be for you, who can be against you? It's what Romans said. That little word if means since. Since God is for you, who can be against you? Hey, watch this. Our power must be remembered. The scope of our power is this. Us and God is a majority anytime, any place, against any number, and we can do all things. Watch this. There's the scope of our power, but there's the source of our power through Christ. Said, preacher, if I can do all things, why can I not have joy in my life? Because you're trying to do it yourself and not through Him. Again, what did He say? Rejoice in the Lord. What did He say here? I can do all things through Christ. There's the scope of our power, the source of our power, but the secret of our power. Who strengthens me? Who strengtheneth me, or which strengtheneth me? The source of our power is not in ourselves. It's in Him. It's not in us tonight. It is, and you've heard me say this before. Brother Jonah Vitto is from Northwood Baptist Church. He surrendered to preach in 2016 during that Foothills Revival. He's got a speech impediment. And whenever Brother Jonah preached his first message, he never stumbled the first time. Let me tell you what it was. The strength was not in him. The strength was in the Lord. So, preacher, how do you do this or how do you do that? Through Christ. Preacher, how do you get going, keep going when the going gets tough? Through Christ. Say, preacher, when everybody's turned their back on you and it seems that everybody's against you, how do you keep going? Through Christ. It's through Him. Our power must be remembered. Joy is strengthened when we stop counting on ourselves and start leaning on Christ. Watch this, number seven. I'm done. Our provisions must be recognized. Our joy tonight. It's all dealing with our joy tonight. Our provisions must be recognized in verse 14 through 19. You see the situation in verse 14 through 18. Notwithstanding, ye have well done that ye did communicate with my afflictions. Now ye Philippians know also that in the beginning of the gospel, when I departed from Macedonia, no church communicated with me as concerning giving and receiving, but ye only. For even in Thessalonica ye sent once and again unto my necessity, not because I desired a gift, but I desire fruit that may abound to your account. But I have all and abound, I am full, having received of Epaphroditus the things which were sent from you, an odor of sweet smell and a sacrifice acceptable, well-pleasing to God. Our provisions must be recognized. Look at his situation in verse 14 through 18. Can I remind you this? He's in prison. He's in prison writing this. But look at his statement in verse number 19. My God shall supply. What did he say? He said, but my God shall supply. What's he doing? He's reminding them the statement, but look at the scope. All your need. No matter what it is, he can supply it. No matter what it is, he can supply it. According to his riches in glory. So you see the situation, the statement, the scope, the source. Our provisions must be recognized. Joy deepens when we see every need met by God who never lacks and never leaves. It all goes back to this. Our joy is not in ourselves. It's in Him. All your need.